Welcome in. This is the Flame Entertainment and Sports. It's your boy Rob here. On this episode, I have Jerry with me. We're going to be talking about the crazy day in the NFL today, where we saw Aaron Rodgers stay in Green Bay. We saw Russell Wilson get traded from Seattle to Denver. And we also saw Mike Gesicki get franchise tagged by the Dolphins. Chris Godwin got franchise tagged by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there's some other names like J.C. Jackson, the corner. He was not franchise tagged by the New England Patriots. The left tackle, Teron Armstead, was not franchise tagged by the New Orleans Saints. And a couple other things happened. But, I mean, we're pretty much we're going to cover mostly Russell Wilson being traded. And we'll talk about Mike Gesicki, obviously, with the Dolphins. And of course, about Aaron Rodgers deciding to stay in Green Bay. But I think here we're going to start off with the Russell Wilson trade. So before we get into our thoughts, I'm going to read the full trade details. So the Seahawks, they traded Russell Wilson in a fourth round pick. And Denver traded Drew Lock, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, two first round picks, two second round picks, and a fifth round pick to Seattle. I'll start off with my thoughts and then I'll let Jerry give his. So what I've been telling people throughout the day today, I was telling Jerry right now before we started recording, in my opinion, both of these sides won. I think it's a great trade for both sides because, so let's start off with Seattle. So Seattle right now, the last couple of years, they haven't had a lot of draft picks. They haven't had a lot of money. They haven't been able to bring in as much talent as they want to compete for championships like they did in the past. And I think this is a perfect scenario. Obviously, I just feel like Russell Wilson wanted to be traded and there they traded him. So I think this is the best possible scenario for them because they're planning the rebuild. In this trade, they acquired, like I said, five draft picks, including two number ones and two number twos, and including the number nine pick in this year's draft class. So I just feel, yeah, it's a great start for them in their rebuild, adding a bunch of draft capital. And then for the Denver side of it, oh no, and also to talk about the players Seattle got too. I've also talked to a couple people about this. So they acquired Drew Lock, of course, who's been in the league for a couple years. I loved him a couple years ago in the draft out of Missouri. And I remember when Denver drafted him, I was like mad because I wanted the Dolphins to draft him in the second round. Obviously, he hasn't been great, but I don't think it's necessarily his fault. I don't think he's gotten the full opportunity. I feel like they gave up on him quick last year already by naming Teddy Bridgewater the starter in week one. Like Lock did play in a couple games last year, but I mean, hardly playing. I don't know. Like hasn't had like a huge opportunity to really showcase what he could do. Obviously, Vic Fangio, who coached him, gets fired. So you don't know if the coaching affected him. Maybe the offensive coaching wasn't great for Lock, but I think it's the perfect scenario right now for both Lock and the Seahawks because the Seahawks, like I said, they're rebuilding. They're trying to get assets, trying to get draft capital. So why not bring a young quarterback in like Drew Lock? Maybe have him compete for the starting job this year if you want to even draft a rookie quarterback. You don't feel the rookie is ready. You know Drew Lock has the experience in this league and you'll feel comfortable with him starting a few games. And who knows, maybe he does better than what you expect. So I just think it's a perfect scenario for Lock and for Seattle. Then they had Noah Fant as well, who I was telling Jerry this before we started recording. I remember when Noah Fant came out of college and he had a lot of high expectations to become one of the best tight ends in the league. And to this point, he hasn't done that. I believe a big part of that is because he gets hurt a lot. So he hasn't been on the field consistently. He hasn't been able to build a consistent relationship or a consistent chemistry, I would say, with any of the quarterbacks he's had in Denver. Because he gets hurt a lot. So hopefully in Seattle, another guy just like Lock, like Fan is still young. There's still time for him to develop into a great tight end. And what better place in Seattle where they're going to have a lot of patience right now. And who knows, maybe they just acquired a future like Pro Bowl tight end. And then Shelby Harris, a defensive end. He's an interesting guy. He's not a big name. He's not an elite defensive end. But he is a very solid veteran defensive end. He's gotten better each year of his career. I remember a couple years ago, actually, I almost got him here on the podcast. And ever since then, the last 2 years, he's like like done a lot better than what he was at that time when I almost got him on here. But yeah, so I, like I said, and then to now to talk about Denver. So obviously them getting Russell Wilson is a huge step into being one of the top contenders for, to win the Super Bowl. I was telling Jerry this as well before we recorded. It's reminding me of when obviously the Rams acquired Matthew Stafford last offseason, and look, and they go on to win the Super Bowl. It was a very similar scenario, I would say. The Rams had an elite defense. They had some nice weapons with Cooper Kupp, with Robert Woods. And then you look at this Denver team, they have an elite defense. Then they have two, they have Javonte Williams, and Melvin Gordon is a free agent right now. But I, if you guys haven't listened to my running back free agent episode, make sure to check it out. There is mutual interest, not just not because of Russell Wilson, but Melvin Gordon wants to return to Denver. And I know their GM wants to wants Gordon to stay. So look, they have two number one running backs there. Then you go to the receiving core. They have Cortland Sutton. They have Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick, three really good young receivers in the game. The one I'm most excited for is Tim Patrick, because I believe he's one of the most underrated receivers in football. And he's one of the most consistent. He has some of the best hands in football. He's a very underrated player, so I'm happy for him about that. So, yeah, I just wanted to get my full explanations for why I think both sides did a great job today. And like I said, we could possibly, at this time next year, be talking about the Denver Broncos winning the Super Bowl. So now I'll let Jerry take over and give his thoughts on this Russell Wilson team.
Yeah, I think both teams did a really good job, too. Seattle got a huge haul. I wasn't expecting them to get so much. I was expecting somewhere around like maybe three firsts and like a second, and maybe that's it, or 2 seconds and that's it. But they got like they got one less first round pick, so that's two first rounds, 2 seconds, a fifth, and then they got like a bunch of players too. Obviously, you mentioned Noah Fant, Drew Lock, and Shelby Harris. I kind of liked Drew Lock his rookie year. His second and third year, he didn't really get a chance to shine that much, like you said. So I think obviously this will be like his kind of similar to like Jared Goff, if we're going back to that trade, where he has like where this is gonna be like his last chance to like, or not his last chance, but like his next chance, maybe it will be his last chance to like. Show like what kind of quarterback he really can be, like to prove himself. Oh, I can be a number one. It's like they're gonna have Metcalf, they're gonna have Tyler Lockett, and now you're gonna throw in Noah Fant into the mix. Of course, Noah Fant really hasn't had the chance, or he really hasn't produced the way we thought he was gonna produce coming out of the draft. But he's still gonna have he's gonna have his chance. To redeem himself like Drew Lock, and yeah, obviously the only thing that's kind of concerning about Seattle is their offensive line, which obviously like it's not gonna be great because they're in a rebuild, but he's not gonna have bad weapons to throw to either, so he's gonna have a much better chance than what let's say Jared Goff had or. What most quarterbacks have, like when they get their second chance. Okay, yeah. So Seattle's offense, they're gonna have some like pretty nice players. The defense might need a lot of work, but that's part of the rebuild. I'm not sure what's gonna happen with Jamal Adams exactly. I don't know if they're gonna keep him or they're gonna wait a couple years and trade him. Obviously, you're not gonna get two first round picks for that. For him, like you initially got him for, but I don't think it's really the end of the world either. Cause like he's not, even though he's not like what you expected him to be, it kind of made sense to take that chance. Cause like at the time they were really all in on just trying to win then. So even though it didn't work, I still understood why they did make that trade, but. Now to get into Denver's side of the trade. Obviously, you get a top five, top 10 quarterback in the league. He's gonna have all the weapons. He's gonna have Jeudy. Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton. Like, he's gonna have a bunch of weapons to throw to. Obviously, losing Noah Fant might not be the most ideal, but at the end of the day, if you're gonna get Russell Wilson, it's not that big of a deal. Like you said, they had Javonte Williams, who they just drafted last year on his rookie contract. They're not gonna have to pay him until 2, 3, or 4 years from now. So they're in a really good position. Obviously, Melvin Gordon, you mentioned him. He's going to be a free agent. But if there's mutual interest between the two, I'm sure that interest has gone up now that Russell Wilson's a part of the team. I'm sure he wouldn't mind taking a pay cut just so he can win a Super Bowl. It was like when they got Peyton Manning. So, like, their timeline to win wasn't 10 years down the road, whatever. It was literally in 5 years. So it's the same thing now, because, like, Russell Wilson, I mean, he's not old either. He's like maybe 33, 32. So they're going to have at least 5 years to be able to win a Super Bowl. And then he's a younger player than what Peyton Manning was when he went to Denver. So they're going to have more time. And this defense is young. Obviously, you have Patrick Surtain. You have
Bradley Chubb is really good.
Bradley Chubb, Justin Simmons. That defense is just insane. And it's so similar to that defense that they had with Peyton Manning. So they're gonna be a Super Bowl contender for at least the next 5 years. I don't think it's going to take that long to win a Super Bowl, though. I think within the next 2-3 years, once the rookie head coach gets the hang of it, I think they'll be fine. They'll be a force for years to come. And in that division where they have Kansas City and the Chargers.
And the Raiders, and too.
Even the Raiders, too, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to be a really good team. I think they're going to be the team that puts that division on lock. Like, obviously, those teams are still really good. They're going to be in the mix, too. But I think with this team, I think they have the most complete roster. And I think they should win at least one or two Super Bowls with this team.
Got you. Nah, that's a big, like, prediction. I feel you. Like, I think that they'll end up winning a Super Bowl. But I can't fully say right now that they have the division unlocked. A big thing for me, like, I talked about it with you before we recorded. Yeah, we got to see if Nathaniel Hackett is a good head coach, because maybe he was a good, like, coordinator in Green Bay, but we got to see if he's a good coach. Because then who I thought of immediately when you brought up the division is, like, obviously Kansas City, they have Mahomes, they have these guys, but Andy Reid, like, one of the all-time greats. Obviously, too, like, with the Raiders, like, as good as they were this past season, we got to see if Josh McDaniel, if he's going to be better in his second chance as a head coach. Then with the Chargers, it's also a question mark with their coach there. I didn't really love what I saw from him this past season. Their defense really digressed, but not at the end of the day, the division is going to be fun to watch. I think you made great points there. And before we move on to like Aaron Rodgers, I want to touch on something that you brought up. I was talking to a couple people about this earlier. You brought up like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So DK Metcalf, I wanted to talk about him for a little bit here. So I can see, I have a couple scenarios that came to my head of things that could happen with DK Metcalf. I could see a scenario where Seattle tries to trade him now, like during the offseason, because this might be the highest value that you could get for him in a trade, instead of, like, let's say waiting till the trade deadline during the season, because we don't know if he's going to be as productive with a different quarterback, like without Russell Wilson. So maybe you won't be able to get as much in return if you wait till the trade deadline. And with that being said as well, his rookie contract ends after this season. So he'll be an unrestricted free agent next offseason. That's something else to keep in mind. You don't want to just lose him for nothing. And another scenario that I have, what if they decide to give him an extension right now? I know they're rebuilding, but who better to rebuild with than one of the best young receivers in football? He's 24 years old right now. He's going into his fourth season, like I said. And if you plan on helping Drew Lock as your number one quarterback or any rookie that you draft, why not help them out by giving them one of the best young receivers in football, like I said. So those are a bunch of scenarios that come to my head in terms of DK Metcalf. And then now to talk about Tyler Lockett here. So Tyler Lockett, obviously, throughout his career, he's been Russell Wilson's favorite target, I would say. Before that was Doug Baldwin, and then it turned into Tyler Lockett. So Tyler Lockett's another interesting one because of the amount of money he's going to get in his contract. I was looking this up. So he has 4 more years left on his contract. Right now he's 29 years old, but at the start of the season, I believe he'll be 30. And this season, look, it's only going to be $10 million, which is great. But then next year, 31 years old, $16 million. Then he turns 32, $23 million, and 33 years old, $23 million. So as good as he is, as productive as he's been with Russell Wilson, there's a lot of questions because are you really willing to pay a guy going into his 30s so much money? We haven't seen him with any other quarterback. Do we know if he's going to be as productive? The games this past season where Wilson was out and Geno Smith started, it felt like Lockett was like nowhere to be found. And I don't get me wrong, I think he's a good player. He has a chance to make an impact on whatever ends up happening, whatever team he goes to. But I just look at his contract and I feel that if there's a team that's trying to trade for him, in order for them to accept him coming into their team, they're going to have to get him to agree to restructure his contract. Because I think that's way too much money to pay a receiver going into his 30s. But yeah, those are just – oh, and another thing you brought up, I'm glad you did. You talked about Seattle's O-line. So to add on to your point about their O-line probably going to look shaky. So their left tackle for the past 2 years, Dwayne Brown, he's a free agent right now. He's almost in his 40s. He's around 37 or 38. Before that, he was with Houston for the majority of his career. I would say he's always been like a all-pro, like caliber left tackle. I'm feeling now that he'll probably end up signing somewhere else, but that's a guy I'm intrigued by to see where he ends up signing. Like I said, he's almost 40, but I could see him signing like a 2 or 3 year contract to join a contender. Kind of like it reminds me kind of like Andrew Whitworth, who's been with the Rams the last couple of years. Obviously, he's in his 40s. So yeah, those are three guys that I really wanted to get, that I've been thinking about today, and I wanted to make sure to get my thoughts on all three of them out. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on them, or if you want to move on to the Rodgers thing.
No, I think we can go on to Rodgers.
So yeah, Aaron Rodgers, he decides to stay in Green Bay. There's a lot of reports out there that he signed like the biggest contract ever, and those reports turned out to be false. It came from Pat McAfee, who I'm gonna read his tweet. He said, "Breaking, according to my sources, Aaron Rodgers will officially be returning to the Green Bay Packers. There is no deal in place currently, but there is said to be a cap-friendly deal on the way. Retirement was a real consideration, and in the end, he is back with the Pack." And then he puts, "News of a 4-year, $200 million deal is not accurate, according to my sources." And then even Aaron Rodgers himself came on to Twitter to deny that report that he signed that extension. Let me read his tweet. He put, "Hey, everyone, just wanted to clear some things up. Yes, I will be playing with the Packers next year. However, reports about me signing a contract are inaccurate, as are the supposed terms of the contract I quote-unquote signed. I'm very excited to be back, hashtag year 18. So I wanted to make sure to get those details out because I think most people think he signed this big extension, but he really signed a team-friendly deal that's going to allow them to bring in more guys to the team. But yeah, now I'll let Jerry take over and give his thoughts.
Yeah, it's nice to see Rodgers go back to where he's always been. It's like 100%. I thought he was really going to leave, or I thought Denver was the team he was going to go to for like a year, actually. And I'm pretty sure everyone thought he was going to Denver. But yeah, it's good that he's going back to Green Bay, because really, it really doesn't look right, or it doesn't feel right for him to see him like in a different uniform. That's really like his home. That's really where he became Aaron Rodgers. So to see him like stay in Green Bay is really good. And also on that team friendly deal too, because when I first saw that contract and I saw he was going to get $50 million a year, I thought that was going to be like too much for him. Like, I know he's great. Like obviously like a quarterback of that caliber needs to be paid a lot, but like, if you get paid that much, like if you pay him too much, you're not going to be able to have enough money for his receivers, his offensive line, his running backs, his defense. Like, it's going to be too much for him to pay. They probably wouldn't have been able to sign Davante Adams. I know he hasn't signed yet, but it would be a lot harder to sign Davante Adams if he's making $50 million a year. So it is good to see him make a more team friendly, or to sign a more team friendly deal, because obviously he wants to win. I think he's made all the money he's wanted to make in his career. At this point, you're just trying to win. So it's really good to see that he wants to win, and Green Bay still has the team to win. Like, they're not, it's not like they don't have a team. They have a good team. They're probably just missing like a few players in certain positions. In the last couple of years, I think they just didn't get it done. Like, they just, them as a team, they just didn't get it done. I think they have the players, they have the team, the coaching. They just got to win. Like, that's really it. I mean, they have, but yeah, I think it's going to be great to see him stay in Green Bay and probably just end his career there. Because at this point, I don't see, after agreeing to stay in Green Bay, maybe, I don't know how many years. I don't think he would want to leave and go somewhere else. It really wouldn't make sense. Or at least I don't think it would make any sense.
Not 100%, man. No, yeah, I'm super happy that he stayed there. Like you said, it would have been really weird to see him in another uniform. But yeah, I'm glad that everything resolved itself. Other relationships have been fixed, and I'm glad because it's not just related to football. But when you think about any relationships in your life, like friendships, marriage, whatever it may be, like any type of relationship, there's always gonna be speed bumps. Like, there's always gonna be ups and downs. But you can't just give up on the relationship. You get me? If you really like love the person or want that person in your life, and I feel that's what happened here from both Rodgers' side and the Green Bay side. Like, the way they're able to resolve all the issues they had, everything that went on, I think that's a beautiful thing as well. But yeah, I'm super happy that he stayed in Green Bay. I'm happy for all the Packers fans. I mean, 17 years there, his whole career. It would have been a bad feeling to see him end his career leaving Green Bay after there for so long. And another thing to bring up, like you already mentioned, Davante Adams. I know they're working on an extension with him. Maybe they franchise tag him for this year, but I think it ultimately will be an extension. And also, I know Jair Alexander, their star corner, he's a free agent, but I've heard the last couple of days that they've been in negotiations as well on a long-term deal. I'm pretty sure it's Za'Darius Smith, the linebacker, who had a breakout year a couple years ago. This past season, he was pretty much hurt for the whole year. I heard they're going to let him go because of money, the free up some money. And like I said, he did have a breakout year a couple years ago. But prior to that, he was never really a star player. And then this past season, he was hurt for the majority of the season. So it makes sense if they're able to let him go and perhaps add like two or three more guys for that same salary that they're going to pay Smith for. So yeah, I'm happy all around for everyone in Green Bay, for Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur. It just seems like everything's going up in Green Bay. Like you said, they have a great team. I think of their running backs, Aaron Jones, obviously a great running back. A.J. Dillon, I feel he just kind of had like a breakout season. I loved him a couple years ago coming out of Boston College. He's a beast. Obviously, Davante Adams will stay around. I'm sure Randall Cobb, he'll stay there. That's one of Rodgers' best friends as well. But now I'm intrigued to see, by Rodgers doing this, not signing an extension, to have more money, by letting go of Smith, it's going to be interesting to see what else they're able to bring in. I heard some rumblings today. I don't know if there's any truth to it, that if the Cowboys do end up cutting Amari Cooper, that possibly Green Bay has some interest in bringing him in as their number two. So that would be freaking scary to have, to give Aaron Rodgers two number one all-pro wide receivers. Like, you have Adams on one side and Cooper on the other side. That'd be pretty scary. And another thing I'm interested in is, I know Robert Tonyan, their tight end, he's a free agent. I know he's pretty good, but there are also some other tight ends out there in the open market. So I'm also interested to see what they do there in the tight end position. And then, of course, I think it also goes back to the defense. Obviously, losing Smith, although he was out, like I said, the majority of the season, he was still an important player. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do there as well with the tight end group. All around, it's a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of exciting stuff. But I don't know. You have any other thoughts, man, on Rodgers or Green Bay or anything?
Nothing too crazy. I'm glad he's back.
So to move on now, let's talk, give some quick thoughts on Mike Gesicki being franchise tagged today by the Dolphins. I'll start off here. So obviously, if you guys listen to the podcast, if you know me, if I talk football with you, you know Mike Gesicki is like one of my favorite players in the world. So when I got the news, I was just like so happy. I'm just glad he's staying in Miami. Not only is he a great player, but you could tell Tua really like trust him. That's probably Tua's number one, like most trusted target, I would say. Tua's always looking for him. And then off the field, you see the relationship. They have a great friendship. Gesicki's also a guy that you could tell he loves being part of the Dolphins. Like every time he talks about the fans, the organization, he like loves being here. So it was a great feeling to see him get rewarded. I know it's only a franchise tag, it was 1 year, but I'm sure after this season, we'll discuss a long-term extension with him. But I'm just happy that he's staying in Miami. And also, I said this on my last episode, the free agent running back episode. I can't wait now. Now it's official. Now I can't wait to see what Mike McDaniel, what he has planned for Mike Gesicki in this offense. Because we know Mike McDaniel is an offensive genius. So just imagine what he has planned up his sleeve now. What he has planned for, like, when we have Gesicki and Waddle on the field. I just can't wait to see what Mike McDaniel has planned for Mike Gesicki, honestly. I think it's going to be amazing. And, yeah, overall, I mean, there's not much else to say for me. I'm just super happy. I think this was the only move, the only smart move. If we would have let him go, I think it would have been a dumb move. So, yeah, I'm just happy overall, man. What are your thoughts on Gesicki staying with the Dolphins, bro?
Yeah, me too. I'm happy about it. I'm happy. He was probably, for a bunch of years, he was like our number one target for whoever we had, Fitzpatrick, Tua.
100%. Yeah, you're right. Even with Fitzpatrick, that was his number one target.
Yeah, and even when we had Tannehill that 1 year, I mean, actually
the rookie year, yeah. Remember, Gase would only put Gesicki on the outside. I'll never forget that in my life. He would just put him on the outside and then just have him go straight. And tell Tannehill to just throw the ball up. That's literally what it was. Like, that's the sad. Like, I'm not even making it up. But whatever. Hey, it's a new day.
Yeah, it's a new day. Yeah, but like, no, but seriously, he's one of like the best tight ends in the league, and he's really underrated, and it's great that he's back, because he's really our number one weapon, unless you want to say Waddle, but. But yeah, whatever. One of those two guys. Yeah. But yeah, it's great. It's great to see, because yeah, we need all the weapons we can for now. Cause like we lose him, then it's just Waddle and Parker, and I don't know. I'm just happy that he's back. It's gonna be interesting to see how Mike McDaniel uses him, because I know in San Fran, they wanted all their tight ends to block and like be big pass catchers. I know Mike Gesicki is mostly a big pass catcher, so it'll be interesting to see if he uses him as a wide receiver or as a or as a tight end?
Not for sure. I'm really excited about that, man. Like even you think of Hunter Long, who we drafted last year. I mean, Flores never put him in the play, so it's like we don't really know what we have in him. Maybe like McDaniel has ideas now of putting both Gesicki and Long together. You have Long blocking, Gesicki going out for passes, or even plays where they both go out for passes. And then it's like, holy crap, like they have these two big bodied guys out there, like who's gonna cover them? So yeah. But I don't know, any other thoughts, bro? On Gesicki?
I'm excited he's back.
Got you. Yeah, like I mentioned, so yeah, I mean Chris Godwin, he got franchise tagged by Tampa, which was, I would say, according to reports, was heavily expected. It wasn't, I don't know why, it wasn't heavily expected by me. As good as he is, I just feel like with them losing Tom Brady, I feel a lot of their free agents are going to leave. Godwin did tear his ACL. He's obviously not going to be ready till later in the season. So it's just like interesting that they franchise tag him, but he's not even going to be available the majority of the season. So I don't know how to, like, I understand it from Tampa because Godwin is like a great receiver, but it's just like an interesting philosophy. Like, I don't know if they just like kind of panicked and they're like, oh my God, no, we can't lose him. Or if they really have him as part of their plans and they're planning to like build around him. So, and also, like I said, JC Jackson from New England, who came out of nowhere a couple years ago, and he's one like a top five corner in the league right now. He didn't get franchise tagged. It looks like he'll probably be on a new team next season. Teron Armstead, the left tackle from the Saints, he didn't get tagged either. So there's just a couple of guys I have in mind. I don't know if you have any thoughts on them, bro. Or...
Yeah, I'm surprised about the JC Jackson one. I thought for sure he'd be on the team next year because he's been really good for them the last couple of years.
For sure. It's weird because, yeah, they could literally franchise tag them. That's what's like kind of confused. Like, even if you just want him for one more year, like, you could just keep him. You get me?
Yeah, and you don't have to pay him, like, huge money or anything like that.
For real?
Yeah, I'm kind of like, it's really confusing.
Speaking of, okay, of JC Jackson, I don't know how true this is. I don't know. There's a report, I forgot who it was, a reporter on Twitter. He said some sources he knows say that there's a possibility that JC Jackson could end up in Miami to be paired up with Xavier Howard. And obviously in that scenario, Byron Jones will either be cut or traded. I don't know what would happen. I myself like Byron Jones. I think he's underrated. I think people just look at his contract and expect him to be like this, like out of this world, like corner. But I think he's like an amazing number two, because obviously we have Xavier Howard. But I mean, obviously, if you're able to add JC Jackson next to Xavier Howard, I mean, two number one, arguably the two best corners when you think about it, like in the NFL, it's like, wait, holy shit. But regardless, like I'm completely fine, completely happy with Byron Jones. But I just wanted to, since I brought up JC Jackson, I wanted to make sure to say that. You feel me?
Oh, I would love JC Jackson.
I know. Be insane. Can you imagine that with Xavier Howard?
Bro.
But like I said, I love Byron Jones though. So I mean, I'm not gonna be like, oh, if Jackson goes somewhere, I'm gonna be like mad. No, like I think Byron Jones is a hell of a number two. He'll probably be a number one on the majority of teams in the league when you really look around at rosters, you feel me?
Yeah.
So but yeah, I don't know, bro. Any other thoughts on anything that went on today?
Nothing too crazy. Maybe like maybe Chris Godwin. I was like, you said he got like franchise type, but I don't know. It was like I kind of understand it. You don't want to just lose that team like just now. Like, I know Tom Brady retired and everything, but I think it makes sense to like try and keep that team as much as you can. I know some of these guys are probably going to leave, look for bigger contracts, maybe look to win a Super Bowl somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they should try and keep that team at least one more year and then try and bring a big-time quarterback, or maybe not even a big-time quarterback. Just bring in a really good quarterback and try and win one more and see where it goes. Or if the rumors are true, which I really don't think they are, they could wait like one more year until Tom Brady comes out of retirement, which I doubt he's going to come out of retirement.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't believe those reports, but
yeah, I think that's fake. But if anything, like let's say a Matt Ryan or a Kirk Cousins type of quarterback, one of those guys becomes available. Maybe you throw a first round pick or a second round pick at him, and then try and see what happens from there. Because I don't know. They have a Super Bowl caliber. They have a Super Bowl winning team. They're just a quarterback away. So it's like it's kind of hard to just throw that team out just start a rebuild now. So I understand why Tampa would do it. And to be honest, I would go all out to get whatever quarterback just so that you don't like lose this team. I know you got a Super Bowl out of it, but the roster is still there. Like, you don't want to just like lose it now. Like,
I feel you 100%. Trust me, I'm sure that's what Tampa wants. But the only thing here is that a majority of their best players are free agents, and are they really gonna want to stay in a team? Oh yeah, and look, Blaine Gabbert. Like, we went from Tom Brady to Blaine Gabbert. I think we're still gonna be contenders. Yeah. I mean, that's I feel you. That's like ideal if you're Tampa and you still have these guys under contract. But like Ryan Jensen, the center, he's a free agent. I mean, Leonard Fournette, who's been great for them. Like, I think he's had a resurgence, bro. Like, in Tampa, he's a free agent. Ali Marpet, one of the best guards in the league, he just retired a couple of days ago. So you lose Jensen there, you lose Marpet, then that offensive line goes to like one of the best. So like, you don't know what's gonna happen next. I know they still have Tristan Wirfs, but it's like they still need a whole line. But yeah, my biggest thing, like, trust me, that would be ideal if you're in Tampa right now. Like, you have all these guys still under contract, then yeah, just go make a move for a good quarterback. But I just feel they have too many free agents to be able to keep it intact unless they make an insane move. But I feel an insane move, like, to keep all these guys would have been getting like Rodgers or Russell Wilson. I don't know if any other quarterback really out there can really like lure these people to want to stay there. Cause I don't know if there's any other quarterbacks just of that caliber. It's a rare class of quarterbacks that are in that caliber. So yeah, trust me. Like, I understand your points 100%. I just don't think it's realistic because the majority of them are free agents. So I don't see these like veteran guys like, oh yeah, let's just wait around here in Tampa. And as we get older into our career, that's the only thing that I don't think it's going to happen. So even Jensen, a report came out a little while ago, actually, that the Dolphins are heavily interested in him and the Jaguars. That's what it's looking like. Those are the two favorites. And also, to bring up Teron Armstead again, in that same report, it said the Dolphins are heavily interested in Armstead and Jensen. So that's great news. But like I said, bro, trust me, 100%, I'm with you. But yeah, the majority of these guys are free agents. That's the only thing that's like, I mean, like, why the hell would they want to stay there? That's my only thing. And then also everything that went on with like Antonio Brown, and then stuff coming out about like Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich. I don't know. There's just like, I feel there's so much drama and so many free agents that it's going to be like tough for them to keep everyone together. But now though, I mean, and also too, their number one corner, Carlton Davis. I read this today. He's a free agent, and it looks like they're going to let him test the open market. So, I mean, that's another guy too. Their number one corner. It's like, damn. So it's just weird too. Cause then you see them franchise tag Godwin today, and then they don't want to like discuss a new contract with Carlton Davis, a young corner who's their number one corner. So then it's like, but what's like the philosophy there either? But trust me, like, I understand you, like I said, 100%, but I just don't think it's realistic because all the free agents and the majority of them as well are veterans. So they're getting later into their career as well. So they don't have the time of like a younger guy to just like wait around for a couple of years and see what could happen. You feel me?
Right.
That's what I mean. So, but I don't know, any other thoughts, bro, on anything NFL or?
Nah, I don't. Other than that, I think we covered everything we needed to cover.
It was fun. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with any football fans you know. Stay tuned for more football episodes coming soon and non-related football episodes as well coming your way. But thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, everyone, take care.